Mrs. Gutson, real one. Where were you born, Mrs. Gutson?
I was born in Poland.
Which place?
In a town called Piotrków. I can spell it for you.
Is this Piotrków Trybunalski?
Trybunalski, yes.
And which year was this?
And as I gave you the date, the 15th of December 1916.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was a poor shoemaker, not for himself. He worked for a shop owner who gave him the material to make it, and he got paid very little for making a pair of men's or ladies' shoes. At home he worked.
Was he self-employed?
He worked in the place we lived. We lived in two attic rooms, a father, mother, and seven children. And this was where he worked, in the room. This was the dining room and the bedroom and the workroom and everything.
But did he work for himself or for an employer?
For an employer. The employer gave him the material to make the pair of shoes. All the material, he got only paid for making it.
Was his employer Jewish or Catholic?
Jewish or Catholic? I don't think religion comes into it, but the owner had a shop in the poshest street in the town. I believe he was Jewish. But when it comes to business, religion is, you know, people get exploited in Israel as well, where Jews, you know, exploit Jews. I got a sister in Israel, so I know everything.
What was your education?
7 year, what you call free school, like in England. In Poland, we didn't start at 5. In my time, we started at 7.
What kind of a school was it?
What do you mean, sir, by what kind?
Was it just for Jewish children or for mixed?
No, the education was the same like for Christian children, but they didn't mix the Christian and the Jews together because of anti-Semitism. I was in a school, but in that time, in my school, there was just a school for girls. It's not like today that boys sits with girls in the same classroom. It was for girls.
And what kind of subjects would you learn at the school?
Polish. Arithmetic, geography, history, religion. We had lessons once a week about the Jewish religion, where in the Christian schools there'll be a lesson, I don't know, because I never went to an English school, to a Polish school. They will, you know, be about Jesus, about Roman Catholics. Yeah.
What language was spoken at home?
At home, my parents, Yiddish. Yiddish.
Would they speak Polish just as well as Yiddish?
Going back to my parents' education advances all the time. Because in Poland they lived in poverty and being poor, the parents didn't even bother to send the children to school because needed them to go to work. So my parents weren't as educated, if you can call me educated. You see, my father, mostly they could speak, they couldn't even write.
But they could speak fluent Polish?
No, Yiddish. Yiddish, the mother tongue. Yeah.
Would they be, were they religious people?
My parents were not. There were a lot of Jewish people religious, but my father, I remember a time when people celebrate Easter, Jewish people, when my father did, but gradually he grew away from it. He grew away from religion.
For what reason, do you know?
The reason being, like it is with me, he didn't believe in it in the end. He didn't believe in it, in all that tradition. It didn't make sense.
So he didn't bring you up to be religious?
No. But I knew everything about religion by myself from school, and you know.
Did you believe in God when you were a schoolgirl?
No.
Did your teachers know?
They never asked me that question. We only knew we go to school with in Jewish people in Poland's holiday weekly was a Saturday. So, and the Jewish people, Christians was Sunday. Well, the school was just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Saturday and Sunday, there was no schooling.
What about politics? Did your parents take any interest in politics?
Well, I want to be truthful. My mother wasn't on the same level as my father. My father was a bit more educated, if you can call it education in that time. He was more interested what's going on in the country, but my mother was just a happy housewife, just thinking how to bring up the children, how to make ends meet with food and clothes. And I don't know if this is today, do I make any sense? We were so poor that we couldn't afford to buy new clothes. And if one of the oldest children grew up from the clothes, we used to take it to a dressmaker to reverse it on the other side to make a garment for the next one. We were so poor that we couldn't afford to buy the bare necessities and food. We lived in two attic rooms rented.
So, did you ever feel that you were hungry?
I was very, when I, yeah, we suffered a lot from this as well. And the bread that we ate was always dry. It was a big feast for the day that my father didn't work, for the weekend, that my mother will buy a few grams of butter to spread on the bread, but the whole week was just dry bread, and not enough of it, not enough.
Were you just living on bread?
No, we not just you couldn't live on bread. No. If it comes for dinner, my mother used to buy the cheapest meat available, the cheapest, which was very hard to make something of it. And if this will any good for you, we didn't have any gas cookers or electric cookers. There was a built-in from bricks and clay in the kitchen that you had to use wood in coal to make a fire. And there were not electric, in that time, electric kettles. To make a cup of tea, one had to make a fire and put a kettle to boil it. And it took a long time, and it was dirty living. But this, and to buy the coal, my mother couldn't afford, my parents couldn't afford to go to the place where they sell coal to have it delivered by somebody because it has to be paid for delivery. My mother used to carry it on her back up on the second floor, whatever she bought, to bring it and keep it in. We didn't have room, we didn't have a garage or anything where to keep it. We had just, you know.
Did the family stay healthy or did they fall sick?
Funny enough, I always wonder, here with much, much better conditions, people are more sick to what we were in that time.
So you don't remember sicknesses?
When one was sick, we were not advanced in medicine in Poland at all. You see, people died in that time much younger to what people, I mean, TB and other illnesses, or even childbirth.
Do you remember any serious illnesses in your family?
Serious illnesses? No. No. I was the weak link.
Why?
I was the weak link. I often catched a cold. And look at me now. I often catch a cold, and I often had to go to the doctor. I was anemic. And doctor used to prescribe what's called
Iron?
Certain iron medicine to, you know.
Was your family life happy before the war?
They were very close. So much so, I mean, they didn't know about anything. This applies to other countries as well. And they didn't know about condoms and other things, you know. And that's why, being so poor, my mother and father had so many children.
How many did they have?
Seven.
Were they boys or girls?
We were five girls and two boys.
You said your mother wasn't interested in politics,
no.
But was your father interested in politics?
Yeah.
What were his political views? Can you remember?
I remember his and I remember mine. Well, where he was, religion in Poland, religion with communism never mixed. I know a bit of communism in this country, which is much, much different to communism in Poland, as I remember. If one in Poland was a communist, you fight religion, because religion is opium of working class people. You make everybody is equal, not that the Christians are better than the Jews, and God doesn't come into religion. You have to fight for your daily life. And my father, who I remember as a child, used to perform, you may make the celebration for Passover, did away with it altogether. And if you know, for Passover, Jewish people for 8 days don't eat bread. And we eat, ate bread as well in my lifetime. And my mother went in the baker shop, the Christian baker shop, was opposite us in the same street. And she went to buy bread and Passover, but as it was, we lived like in a voluntary ghetto. The Jewish population lived like the East End, and the Christians, but in between there were Christians, and they knew about us. And one Passover, when my mother went to buy bread, she came home and told us about a Jewish fellow that we know him, who slapped the face because he saw her coming out of the shop with bread. He slapped the face for where in England it could never happen. You are what you are, if you know, that's what the conditions. Yeah.
So you and your father were communists, were you?
My father became a communist. I'm not supposed to talk about it in this country, but I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid. I won't go to prison now. To be a communist in Poland, one risked their life to be imprisoned for the slightest activity. And my father became a communist. And as soon as I finished my school at 14, I was very good at school. I made progress going from class from 1, 2, 3, 7 years. Because if one wasn't good at school, one had to stay back by the end for another year to make the grade for the next, for number 2 or 3. But I was very good. My marks for every subject were very good. And when I finished the 7 years, I cried my eyes out. I wanted to continue education. But further education after 7 years means paying a lot of money. Means, you know, universities and colleges. It was only free for rich people. I mean, not free, because the rich can afford. And my father struggled to keep the family together on dry bread and you know, and he couldn't. So I had to go and find a job.
So was your father an actual member of the Communist Party?
The Communist Party in Poland was illegal. He was a member, but everything was illegal. So he encouraged me to join a youth club, a communist youth club, which was illegal as well.
And did you join?
I did join.
Where did you meet?
Where we meet for that club?
Yes.
All illegal. We meet somewhere in the forest, hidden away from public, or in a basement somewhere, or in somebody's house. You know, who were free, that the parents didn't interfere. But it was all hidden. All these meetings were all hidden, away from, you know, for them. I tell you one thing, sir. In our hometown was a big prison. On the same street where I lived with my parents, the street was called Street Pilsudski. Pilsudski was a marshal. In history in Poland, Pilsudski was a marshal. I don't know if I'm using the right, because he was called Marshal Pilsudski. And we lived number 8, or I've forgotten already the number of the house. It wasn't our house, we rented 2 rooms. And the same street was our prison. And in that prison, there were political prisoners, which is not usual to English people, don't know what's a political prisoner. You probably know. And they were criminals. And the intention of the government in Poland was to diminish, when it comes to prison, to diminish the political prisoners to the stage that they share their cells. Is it called a cell?
Yes.
Share their cells with the ordinary criminals, with the robbers, with the gangsters, with the thieves. And the women as well, that the political prisoner women should join the cell with prostitutes. And we communists fight it against that. And if I'm telling you the whole truth that even my children don't know. I was imprisoned at my young age before I was 20. I was in prison in my hometown.
How was it that you were arrested?
I'll tell you how. In that prison, there were communists from different places, not just local people. There were communists from Ukraine, from White Russia, and from other towns, because it was a very big prison. And in prison, political prisoners were tortured by the governors who worked in the prisons. And very often, due to the tortures, if the political prisoners did not obey to the regulations what they want them to obey, they got beaten, so they went on hunger strike, and if you don't eat, you can't, anyway. And I remember my case, one man, a communist, died in prison. And there was that communication between the prisons and the free communists, not always. And we, in Poland, was a rule. If somebody dies, you announce in the street, they get printed, the men, let's say, this and this name, age so and so, and died in that age, and they put it on in the streets. And I, being a young communist, have done this for that particular person who died in prison, together with another newcomer to the youth communist movement where I belonged. And we, with some sticky stuff, we do it in different streets. But if the police, not just detectives, but if the police will see you go to prison for that, you get arrested. Well, I wasn't arrested. I managed to, because every time something happens like this in a prison, the end of that announcement on the wall, we always finish fight fascism and fight the government for a better Poland. But my other person, she went to a different street and I did it mine. A policeman or somebody catched her doing it. And because she was new in the movement, she didn't know that when you get arrested as a communist, you deny, I'm telling you now the truth, but when you are faced, you deny everything because you don't want to admit. And he asked her, who was with you? If you tell me who was with you, you will be free. And she gave me away.
And did they free her?
They arrested us both. But because I didn't tell I was there, because they didn't catch me, they kept us in the police station in separate cells, in police stations with cells, because we should not communicate, because she admits to everything, and I didn't. And I was interviewed in that police station by the main detective who was limping. We knew him, and his nickname was Maniac. Everybody knew him in the Maniac. And he and I, and to tell you now, which is away from it, when I was 1 year old, I had meningitis. I was 1 year old, and I was the first child, and my father was very upset, but the doctors didn't give any hope of me being alive. But after 3 days, I woke up. I was, you know, in high temperature. They used to tell me, I don't remember. And I woke up with a squint. But in Poland, medicine wasn't advanced, and I couldn't afford private. And I never did anything to that. And although I went to the, you know, to see to the eye, they never could do anything to it. I never wore glasses or anything. So when that detective investigated me, and for every question he's asking me, I say, no, I wasn't, and this, and he says, I'll come again to you now physically. I will chop your other eye out, because they used to call me blind. You see, the anti-Semitism was so great in Poland when I grew up as a little girl, the neighbors, the Christian children in the street seeing me, they had a name for a girl in Poland by the Poles was always called Heike, and for a boy was Moshe. So they always... They're always in the street when they saw me, they used to call me blind Heike. They didn't know me, but they saw I got a squint, so I'm blind. They call me blind Heike.
And Heike was a nickname for a Jewish girl.
Yeah, and Moshe, you know, Moshe, which is a name.
Moses.
It was for a boy. So every girl was a Heike and every boy was a Moshe. So he said, the detective, I will chop your other eye out if you don't tell me the truth. And I didn't tell. Anyway, they kept me after in prison, in that same prison that I'm talking in our street, but separate from the other girl. But I wasn't in the cell by myself. I was with other communist girls from different towns, older than me and younger than me. I wasn't even 20 then. And then there was a court case. I've forgotten already how many months I was there. And the court case, my father came to the court, you know, and a lot of people was free. Everybody could come in. I was sentenced for a year and a half imprisonment for things that, you know. Anyway, but the other woman got sentenced as well, but she thought she would go free. They didn't send her, but they never kept us even in prison together. They thought I'll influence, because if prison, I don't know in this country, but I know in this country I'm long enough here. If people go to prison, I'm not talking about political prisoners, they come out hardened. They do it again and again. See? So they thought that if I will stay in prison that year and a half, I will come out and be a different person. But it hardened me more. I was a communist to the end.
What was it like in prison?
Where we were political prisoners together. What was in prison? We were in a big room. And they used to not to bring us the food. We had to go out into the hall and queue up for the food. The food wasn't good. I'm not going to mention it's unimportant what the food was. We were allowed to get parcels at certain days from relations and friends. But these parcels were investigated first before it reached us up. Food parcels my father used to send me. And we used to live collectively, when I mean collectively. In the room we were, in that cell we were about 22 women.
All communists.
All communists from different places. But we shared every bit. We made somebody responsible today to cut every piece of bread, to even slices, to share everything what we get, and share the free parcels who came in to me. I didn't own them. I was just too pleased that everybody should share. We were hungry. And we shared our clothes in winter in the cell when we were cold. We shared the clothes. Twice a day we were asked to go for a walk out into a big yard where we walked, like, how do you call it in English?
Exercise.
Exercise, but not two together, one behind the other, round and round and round for a certain time, being overlooked by a woman warden or two, and then they take us back to the room and they lock the door again. You can never go out. In the daytime, if one needed the toilet, you had to knock at the door and they will take you to the... No, sorry. We had a big dustbin in the room. Sorry, no, we couldn't go in the daytime even. Like a big dustbin with a lid we had in that cell where everybody used it day and night. And only at certain time they opened the door for two people to carry it to the toilet and empty it and clean it and bring it back.
You said earlier about communist prisoners being tortured.
Yeah.
Did you know personally anything about that?
They didn't torture me, no. But I know of it. It happened not in that hometown where I lived. It happened in others, yeah.
How did you know about it?
I couldn't tell you exactly how I knew. I can't tell you exactly.
From other communists telling you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, your communist organization, your youth organization in Piotrków Trybunalski, were they all Jews or were some of them Catholics as well?
We were Jews and Catholics.
When
you say Catholics, it doesn't mean that when you say of the other, the Catholic communist wasn't a Catholic, because a Catholic would never become a communist because we fight religion.
But non-Jew.
Non-Jew, yeah.
And how many were there in your communist organization?
No, I couldn't tell you this. No, I don't remember numbers. It was fluent as well. Some people resigned, and at other times we managed, you know, to get more people. But I couldn't put a number.
But was it something like 100 or a dozen or?
Or more than a dozen, more than 100.
1,000?
No, I wouldn't say 1,000. But you say, but we had a lot of people who were not in the movement, which were sympathizers to the communists. Because at every working holiday, like the 1st of May, we will demonstrate in the street against the government. We demanded always equal rights and bread to eat, because we were hungry. We suffered from a lot of unemployment in Poland.
And were the May Day demonstrations illegal?
The demonstrations were illegal, and a lot of them the police came and arrested and put them to prison.
But would you have banners?
We had banners. The banners were not printed in a factory. We had to print them. We had to do them thus illegal in private places where nobody knew about it, with